Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha, no everyone. Want to welcome everybody back once again. What a powerful evening we had last night with Sister Lucy Mahalona from Fishers of Men Ministries, her handsome and ever-shrinking husband, Pastor Bird Mahalona, doing wonderful things with their health. They're taking care of the temple that God gave them. They're shrinking their temple, and Lynn and I, ours is growing. We need to shrink our temple too. You know, we don't want to have a condominium. We want to have a one-bedroom apartment. Right now, we're renting a duplex. That's why I have a face for radio and a body to match. Hallelujah. But, you know, we want to thank the Lord for blessing us once again to come back here this evening. You know, and I know it's the second day of the week, and we're rolling already through a long five-day work week. You know, the other week, we had 4 days. That was such a blessing, but that's not reality. You know, but we want to give a shout out to everyone who's tuned in tonight. Now, if you have been fighting that traffic going out to the west side, we're going to pray for you after the show because you're going to need some deliverance. That traffic is nothing short of demonic. I mean, I get stuck in that traffic and I start almost the verge of losing my salvation because only crazy drivers live on the west side. I don't know what happened to the east side, but crazy drivers live on the west side. But, you know, we want to thank the city and county and the state for fixing that highways and byways because of the thousands of people that drive that road every day. But maybe you have not had the pleasure or the luxury of sitting in traffic, and maybe you've been sitting in your patio in Kailua or Hawaii Kai or Waimanalo just waiting for this program to come on this evening. So we want to thank you once again for tuning in. Shout-outs going to our brothers up at Waiava. Shout-out going to our brothers in Halawa. Shout-out to our brothers in FDC, our sisters at WCCC, and our sisters and brothers at OCCC. Want to thank you all for tuning in. You know, our anchor verse is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future." Now that promise is for each and every one of you out there, not only for me, Sister Lucy, or Sister Lynn, but it's for everybody. It's the promises of the Bible. It's the word of God. It comes from the Bible, and as Sister Lucy had shared with us last evening, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's the authorized, it is the inspired, the inerrant, and inerrant word of God. You know, the prophets and disciples, they were the writers, but it's actually the inspired word of God himself who resides in you, and we were made in the likeness of his image. Now, you know, lately we've been getting a lot of terrible news. You know, the weather is going really unbelievable. In fact, last Saturday, in the headline for the U.S. Today weekend paper, it says, now, and this is a paper that's published, you know, for the USA, it's called USA Today. So it's not a Christian publication. It's not one of faith, but it says biblical rains flood Colorado. Headline, Saturday paper, going out to the millions of people across the nation of the United States. But it says biblical rains flood Colorado. It goes on further to say that walls of water are coming down, one of the sheriffs in Boulder County. And it says it's coming down. It's in biblical rainfall amounts. I find that incredible. It also goes on to say with a county sheriff, Joe Pell, he says, "This is not an ordinary day. It is not an ordinary disaster. We have walls of water 20 feet gushing through the canyons. We've gotten 7 inches of rain in 24 hours, shattering a 95-year record for Colorado." Amen?
Amen.
You know, a lot of times when we are, and we want to welcome all of our beloved, our brothers and sisters, you know, that are behind the walls right now, and we know that the truth shall set you free. I have more people that are behind the walls that are actually more free than the people walking the streets of Waikiki tonight, you know, because it's the freedom of the truth that sets you free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. But, you know, a lot of times we look at the things going around the world, and I always talk to our beloved when we have a chance to share the gospel of the good news and the love of Jesus is, was anybody here in this room around when Adam and Eve were? And up to this date, after almost 4 years, no one has raised their hands. Thank you, Jesus. Because if they did, I'd have to go talk with them and pray with them. So none of us were around when Adam and Eve were here in the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth. However, knowing that, I would say we're probably closer to the end times than we are to the beginning times. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So that, and I want to support that through some signs that are biblically referenced. And I'm just going to go through a few of these. And you ask yourself as I'm going through these, is this going on right now? Or is what is Brother Bula? Is Brother Bula talking cracker talk again? Is he being a cracker tonight? Or are these things that I should consider or maybe take notice of? Or as we talked about last night, what are we really focusing on? So, you know, some of the signs of the end time, it says, well, in one study I have, it says, false Bible teachers would be money hungry. Don't turn on TVangelists today. It also says another one, it says homosexuality would be increasingly evident at the end of the age. It says earthquakes would be in diverse places. It also says that stress would be a part of living. It says many wars would erupt. Signs of the end times. It would say that people would forsake the Ten Commandments as a moral code, committing adultery, stealing, lying, and killing. It says also that there would be a cold religious system denying God's power. It also says that men would substitute fantasy in place of Christian truth. It says that deadly diseases would be prevalent around us. And it says that the institution of marriage would be forsaken by many. It says there would be an increase in famines. Also, it says there'd be a world cry for peace. And this other one, point number 15, the possession of Jerusalem would be at the center of international turmoil. Unbelievable. It also says that there would be hypocrites within the church. Oh my, imagine that. Well, I just want to share with everybody, the church does not have full control over all the hypocrites. There's hypocrites everywhere we go. However, many non-believers like to say that only hypocrites go to church. Well, that's another program for another week. Hallelujah. And it also says there would be an increase of religious cults and false teachers. It says humanity would become more materialistic. It says the future would seem fearful to so many. And it also says that the Christian gospel would be preached as a warning to all nations. Amen. And it says that Jesus said Christians would be hated for his name's sake. And he says men would mock the warning signs of the end of the age and that youth would become rebellious. Many of these things are points to consider about the end times. You know, I would always explain to our beloved that for believers, life begins at the cross. For non-believers, life ends at the cross. For the non-believers, it's just a wooden cross. Someone died there, and I'm going to die. But for the believers, that is freedom. That is the price that was paid for our sins that gives us our eternal salvation. Hallelujah. If you ever notice when you go to a funeral, when it's a funeral for believers, there is some grief, there is some agony, but there's a celebration of life because they know that as believers, we will all be reunited once again. But if you ever go to a funeral for someone that's a non-believer or maybe doesn't believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it's a very depressing ceremony because they know that is the last time they will ever see that person ever again. Be they in an urn maybe or be they in a casket, they will never see that person again. So it's very depressing. It's so sad. But when you go to one that is a believer, it is called a celebration of life because it is a celebration of this life here on this earth and as a segue to the celebration of life eternally next to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, last night I shared earlier, we had a powerful, powerful program. In fact, I can't wait to get that up on our website for the thousands of fans out there so that they can hear Sister Lucy Mahelona from Fishers of Men Ministry. But we brought her back all the way from the west side. She's fought the traffic. She's fought the accident. She's fought everything just to get back in the studio to be with us once again this evening. But you see, I was sharing with Sister Lucy in a few moments prior to coming on the program. You know, in the prison, we see a lot of things. You know, the prison ministry is not a pretty ministry because a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand what goes on. You know, they haven't had the luxury of being incarcerated. They haven't had the privilege of going behind the bars. But, you know, what people don't know, they fear. And what they fear, they attack. we love the prison ministry, and I don't know if that's just because we're weird, but we love it because, you know, we have so many lost brothers and sisters, and we believe in building the kingdom of God, not about building a church. We're going to build the kingdom of God because God said, go build my kingdom. He didn't say, go build my church.
Amen.
You know, and so we're all believers in the body of Christ, and it's because one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, one accord, one church for one God. And when we have unity, Abba Father looks down and says, you guys get it. You guys finally get it. That's how we experience the convoy of hope. But I wanted Sister Lucy to share, you know, going into the prison, we preach the message of salvation. We preach the message of transformation. We preach the message of forgiveness. And a lot of times we can't forgive ourselves, and that's a first step we need to do. But when you go in there, you know, Lucy, we're dealing with a lot of depressed people, dealing with people that they're in despair. It's like they don't have the answers. They're looking for the answer. Hallelujah, my drum roll. We walk in with the answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Share your heart, my sister.
You know, yes, Pastor Bula, first of all, I want to thank Insight Ministry for allowing this ministry to happen, and God Almighty, most of all, and above all things. I just thank God that, yes, we are living in the end times, and we that live in Honolulu, Hawaii, we live in such a beautiful paradise that we don't see what's happening on the other states. But yes, it is happening. So what we try to do is preach the Word of God, and how do we do that? We're going with the Holy Spirit that only God has.
Hallelujah.
And He plants them into everyone. One of us.
That's
and
right.
He comes alive.
Alive
because He lives in us. If we need, we must believe that it is alive in us. So when we walk into the prison doors, of course we see all this depression and all
Hallelujah.
The oppression and all of this. But you know what? God tells us to fear no man or woman.
Hallelujah.
That when we walk, we just lay down our lives like how Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
We lay down our lives, but most of all, we feed them the Word of God. We lay down the Word of God, the platform for them. And with this platform, we help them. We help them through the Word of God to experience what God has done through us, through the testimonies that we came from our dirt and all that marrow clay. And with that, that it comes alive for them, that hey, if God did it for Sister Lucy and Pastor Bird,
I love that.
Why can't He do it for me? Yes, He can, my brothers and sisters. Yes, He can. He takes you by your hand, and when you can't walk, He carries you.
Amen.
He carries
Amen.
You. So don't be ashamed of anything or anyone.
You know, hallelujah. You know, with the unbelievable thing about that, and, you know, that's why Sister Lynn and myself, we just love you and your husband so much, is because when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we look at ourselves, God, you got to be nuts. How are you going to use us? I mean, come on, Jesus. You know, but the Lord takes the foolish things of the
yes,
world to
amen.
Confuse the wise. Because if we were to walk in there and we had all the nice clothes and all the nice hair and we looked, everything was manicured, pedicured, and whatever cured, and maybe we'd be cured too, they would say, oh, look, it's those Christian people. But when we walk in and say, hey, look, it's one of us.
Yeah,
hey,
that's right.
How come they don't want a brown uniform today? How come they're so lucky to get jeans and one polo shirt? You know, and it's when they can identify with us. But, you know, we all identify with each other. It's just that a lot of times, you know, and I explain to our beloved, and I apologize because, you know, the world likes to put labels on people. The world likes to label people. And I tell them, where do you find perfect people? Usually it's in the first four rows of church. But we forget when we get sanctified, so many of us, we forget where we came from.
Amen.
And that's sad because, you know, it's just we all have a past. Every sinner has a future, but every saint has a past. Sometimes our saints forget that. But when we go into the prison, and you shared that so eloquently, it's just like, we just like you guys. The only thing, we never get caught, and we found Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and they have to be comfortable with us because, you know, we never talk down with them. We talk up to them. We try and lift them up.
Yes.
We try and raise them up. Just as, you know, it's the power of the word of your testimony by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And that's why we have the victory. That's why we are overwhelmingly conquerors in the name of Jesus Christ. But, you know, a lot of times, and you might attest to this also, Lucy, is sometimes instead of forgiving everybody else, what's the first thing they got to do?
Forgive themselves.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. A lot of us can't forgive ourselves because we hold on to that. Why do we hold on to it?
Mm.
You know, Jesus forgave us.
That's right.
And you surely can forgive yourself. But you need to get to that place, the place of that intimate relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that place, you see the scales start falling off your eyes.
Hallelujah.
Those scales are things that was holding us back from the prosperity in Jesus
yes.
Christ. And with that, that all things are possible through Him. It's just that opening. You know, there's that little crevice that's there
that's
that
right.
God tries to stick His hands inside and tries to pull it open. When He pulls it open, pull it open. The all walls and all generational curses and all chains and all bondages are broken in the name of Jesus.
It's just, you know, the way, you know, people don't understand about bondage. You know, we always talk about sin as people being in bondage. And, you know, it's just like the easiest way for understand that is like it didn't just happen overnight. I always use the story about cooking one frog. And someone shared this to me a long time ago. You know, when you get that frog from Thomas Shiro's, right? You don't just throw him in a pot of boiling water. He's going to jump down the street and run away. But, you know, if you put the frog in, like, lukewarm water, he's cooking back. You're going, hey, this is kind of comfortable. And slowly you turn up the heat. So he's getting a little bit warmer, but he's just going, hey, this is kind of nice. Bugger doesn't know he's getting boiled until he's getting boiled. You know what I mean? And so like that is like the bondage of sin just didn't happen one time. The bondage of sin, if you look at the word bond, it talks about a cord that binds, right? But it's one strand. Then it's another strand. Then it's another strand. If you ever could envision Gulliver's Travels, when he went to Lilliputta and the Lilliputians were the little people, but they tied down this big giant Gulliver. It wasn't with one rope. It was with thousands and thousands and thousands of rope that put him in bondage, that made him immobile, that made him unable to move, just like the bondage of sin that wraps around your heart. It just doesn't enslave it all at once. It's a little bit here. It's a little bit there. It's a little bit here. And by the time you realize it, all of a sudden you're in bondage. But Sister Lucy, you know what breaks that bondage of sin. What breaks the bonds of sin?
It's the Word of God. It's the love of God. The love that He has for us. You know, it's so strong and powerful. All He tells you is to come as you are.
Come as you are.
Come as you are. Come with all of that burdens. Carry that burdens, but pass it on to Jesus. When He's there and He says, here I am, Lord. You have your way in me. By your power and your might, I will be healed. Those confident promises in the Word of God. There are so many promises in the Word of God. God gives you those special ones for you. Hang on to those promises because we know that when you lift up the Word of God, it's clear.
I think one of the challenges, my sister, is that, you know, we talk about the promises of God. Many times in our lives, we base our relationship with our Heavenly Father with the relationship we've had with those that are here on earth. And I think that sets us up for a failure. You know, because when we talk about, you got to believe in the promises of God. You know, it's just like small kid time. Huh? You know, when you your parents tell you, hey, go clean your room. Hey, I promise I'm going to do it. I promise. And you don't do it. You know, what happens is you take that commitment. You take that, you honor that. You're going to promise to do something. But we've conditioned ourselves to saying, well, I didn't promise. I just promise. Well, Bula, what kind of cracker talk is that? Well, it's like, you know, when you tell your wife, honey, you went to the mall, you went shopping. Honey, I just went shopping. I didn't go shopping. I just went shopping. Or you know when you're in intermediate school and your friends tell you, so what, you ain't kissed the boy? She goes, I didn't kiss him. I just kissed him. You know, so sometimes when you hear that kind of double talk, it's like, well, you guys went out on one date. We didn't go out. We just went out. It's like, oh, okay, wow. We just went eat. We didn't eat. I said, yeah. You only get eat after you get married. Because before that, all they like is lettuce with lemon. We want lemon. And then after you get married, they like the lobster and steak special with the chocolate brulee afterwards. But that's a whole nother message about relationships and how we're going to move towards the love of Jesus. But, you know, what the interesting thing is about the freedom of sin is the promise that God has.
Yes.
You can't have the promise of God as we see it. And as like my sister shared earlier, when you have the eyes of Christ, you know, we either live in crisis or in Christ. I choose to live in Christ. I choose to be more Christ-like. By His grace and by His mercy, I breathe every day. But when you have the eyes of Christ, when you have your Damascus experience, when the scales of the world are removed from your eyes, you see things in such a different light.
Yes, amen.
You know, you
yes,
perceive
you
things, and it's an ever-growing process. It just doesn't happen. But one day you might, and this goes great with my wife, my wingless angel, Lynn. You know, one day we're driving, I say, hey, look at that yellow shower tree. Where? Like right there, the left of the car, it's about, you know, 20 feet high. Oh, that shower tree. Not too many of them around, but that shower tree. And then you start noticing because it's such bright yellow. And then you can notice them on the freeway, like by the airport and by FDC. All the yellow shower trees in the neighborhood, because they stand out from miles away. And she goes, you know, I never saw that. I never noticed that. We can wake up in the morning and we'll be driving down Makakilo Drive and I look out. And some days after the rain, not only can you see Diamond Head, to the right of Diamond Head, you can see Haleakala. And I say, look, Haleakala. She goes, I never saw that. You know, and it's just when you look at things differently through the eyes of Christ. So maybe someone up there is irritating you and someone's bothering you, but they're just looking for some love. They're just looking for some attention. You know, it's like even when you have kids small kind of time, right? And they say, hey, dad, I'll show you something. to us that may be kind of irritating, might be kind of aggravating. Mm-hmm. You have to understand what that means in your own child's voice, mental image, and the way they're presenting themselves. It's like you might hear, "Dad, I'll like show you something," but what they're trying to say is, "Dad, I've accomplished this task to a point where I think I'm able to make you happy. I'm able to impress you. I want to show you I've mastered something, and I want you to have pride in that. I want you to be proud of me." So you might say, "Dad, I'd like to show you something." That's what you hear. But meanwhile, your child is begging to show you that he's done something so well, he wants to show off to you. Amen. So that you enjoy it as he enjoys it. But so many times you say, yeah, no worries, I get him. Yeah, no, give me 5 minutes. Oh, honey, where are the kids? They went to sleep. Oh, but in 5 minutes, well, that's 3 hours ago. Amen. You know, and all you lose is that relationship. But, you know, we talk about the promises of God. But, you know, for those of us, Lucy, you've probably seen that on the West Side, but even in the prison ministry is, you know, there's 3 stages in a believer's life. The first stage is, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You get all the right things for say. You walk on, you everything. Jesus is your everything. Jesus is everything all wrapped in one. The Fantastic Four, the Incredible, Superman, everybody. That's Jesus. That's the first stage of a believer's life. Nothing can go wrong. Then the trials and the tribulations, the storms come into your life. And all of a sudden, it turns into, what, God? You don't hear me praying anymore. You're just icing me out. Here I am all alone. Yeah, hallelujah, this. Yeah, great. Thank you, Jesus. Look where I'm at. Wow, God, not even listen. Wonderful. You know, and the third stage of a believer's life is, it is by his mercy and grace, yes, I'm here today that I'm not worthy. Yes. You see, there's 3 stages in a believer's life. And a lot of times we feel that when we backslide, when we've fallen off the path that the Lord has put us on, that now you feel even more worthless than you were before because you made a commitment, but you lost sight. You lost focus at a commitment. You fell on the wayside. So it's like, oh, I already get 2 strikes already. Nobody going to talk to me now. What can you have for an encouraging word to someone who is with the Lord but has, for one reason or whatnot, is not following the Lord that they know they should be, and they just feel like, man, not. I tried that, but God, he's not going to want me right now. What would you tell them?
You know, God prunes us. He prunes us. And you know, when we have our branches, because he is the vine.
Hello.
He's the vine. We're,
amen,
just the branches. And when he prunes us, he cuts off the things in us without even realizing that that's the things that he's trying to get rid of.
Oh,
sometimes,
hallelujah,
he cuts it off all away. Yeah. Sometimes it's just portions of it where he,
hallelujah,
snips it. He snips it so that the new shoot can grow.
Ooh.
The new shoot.
Ooh,
the new
that
shoot comes out. When it comes out, it'll be bountiful.
Oh,
and that's just like the word of God. You know, it comes alive in us with this vine that we're on, that branch that we're, yep, that vine that we're connected to. We are the branches, and we should be bountiful, fruitful, and multiply.
Yes, multiply.
When we go into the prison, we multiply. How we multiply? When we feed the men's and the women's the word of God,
yes,
it flows out of us into them.
Ooh,
they go up to the cells where we can't go, and they continue to preach,
ooh,
the word,
hallelujah,
of God. Hey, you guys heard what Pastor Bula, Pastor Lynn, and Pastor Burden and Lucy said tonight?
Ooh,
did,
hallelujah,
you hear? And they go back where we can't go. So when,
that's
we
right,
feed the men's on the ground,
mm,
the ones there, the ones that God allowed us to feed, they'll go back,
hallelujah,
up, and they feed the ones that,
ooh,
where we can't go.
Multiplying.
And that's how it multiplies.
The seed. The,
you know,
seed.
The seed grows.
Ooh.
But if we didn't,
yes,
if we wasn't down and God,
that's
didn't,
right,
bring us up, how can we multiply?
How can we multiply?
We had to get down,
yep,
down to the dirt. He went,
yep,
down to the dirt.
That's,
and
right,
someone came and they planted the seed in us. When that seed got planted, there was people that came and they fed us the word of God.
That's right.
Not one person, many of people.
Many.
And through that many, that's how we became.
Yes.
And then we go on and we pass it.
Yes.
We pass in the baton so
that's
these,
right,
men and women can run in a prison, run in a prison, run in a prison about the word of God.
Hallelujah. You know, Lucy, you brought up a wonderful point. And for many of us out there, you know, I always try and paint pictures for you. I try and make it a visual. I know many of you saw the movie Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi. You know, Mr. Miyagi had a lot of great things. He had that collection of old cars. But Mr. Miyagi also had his bonsai plants, his bonsai trees. You know, when Mr. Miyagi had to trim his bonsai trees, did he use one weed whacker? Did he get one machete from his Filipino neighbors? No, he has a very, you know, like when you ever watch somebody trim one bonsai tree, this is a piece of art. But he has to take a very small pair of scissors to prune it.
Mm.
But you notice when the vine is being pruned, that is as close as the vine dresser will be to the vine itself. The time that Jesus is closest is to you when he's pruning you, because he has his ear next to your heart. He has his eye next to your body. He has to be very exact what he's going to prune, because he knows what to prune to make it fruitful. He knows what to prune to make it bountiful. But that is when you have the most attention, because it's with every snip, it's with every cut, it's with every closing of those shears that he's cutting something out so that it can be used for his good, for his glory, and to be bountiful and to continue to put more seeds, because he didn't tell us to go build his church. He said to go build his kingdom. Amen. We build the kingdom of God by planting the seed of God everywhere that we go, the four corners of the earth. The four corners of the earth are wonderful. I love missional churches. But you know what? There's four corners in your own house you can work on. Mm. There's four corners in your own neighborhood you can Amen. Work on. Sometimes we focus on going to Bangladesh when we should go to the neighbor across Amen. The street. You know, because it's those guys that are not believing in Jesus Christ. If we can't help our own family, how can we go across the nations and across the world saying we're going to help you when we have blood? And I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to myself right now. When we have blood family members that Amen. Do not even know the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because sometimes it can't come from us. It has to come from another brother or sister Amen. In Christ that's going to share with them. But how can you have a brother and sister in Christ to share with your family if you're not even walking with Jesus Christ yourself? Amen. How are you going to have brothers and sisters if you're not even right with God? You got to get in alignment for your assignment. You got to get right. You got to stand in the light. And you got to keep it tight with Jesus. You know, you got to share that. So the vine dresser, he's only going to prune you because he loves you. Mm-hmm. And he's only going to prune you on the stuff that you don't need that's going to kill you. But he's going to put you in a place. See, we believe that we're in the storms of life to blow us off course. I'm going to correct you right now, my beloved. God put that storm in your life to put you Amen. On course. Because right. you were Amen. Off course. You were off his course. Mm. You were off his course. So he put you on course with that storm. Oh, but why did he lock me up? So that your OPE friends can call you at 2 a.m. in the morning and tell you, hey, let's right. go smoke. Amen. Hey, let's go drink one case of beer and we'll go can some houses today because everybody working. He removed all the opala. So that wire that you look out outside of the window, that's not to keep you locked up. That's to keep the rubbish from coming in because he has separated you from the rubbish. He chose you so much because he loved you where you're at. He's going to do something with you, but you have to allow him to do that with you. Lucy, we've got about a minute left. What's an encouraging word you'd like to share to all the thousands that are listening to us tonight?
My encouraging word is that keep on pressing on for the kingdom of God. Keep your eyes focused on him. Don't let nothing distract you from the word of God and the love of God. Love conquers everything.
Hallelujah. You know, my beloved, you know, it's been wonderful having you tune in tonight once again, you know, and it's just like, it's that focus. You know, because focus is all about what you choose to see. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you choose to look for the bad, you're going to find the bad. When you choose to look for the good, you're going to find the good. You're going to find what you're looking for. You know, how are you going to find your keys if you're looking for your slippers? You know, how are you going to find your dinner if you're worried about the newspaper? What you focused on is what you're going to find. Mm-hmm. If you're focused on getting right with Jesus Christ, if you focus on the things that are important to you, then that's what you're going to find. But if you focus on the ways of the world, then all you're going to find is the ways of the world. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, look us up. We got the answer. If you're getting tired of being messed up, you want to be blessed up, look us up. In fact, just look up. Don't give up. Look up. Talk to your daddy tonight. Say, Abba, Father, need some help. Bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.